Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
We've spent some time the last 6 weeks, give or take, because Josh was in the middle there somewhere. We've been talking about the seven love letters that Christ wrote to the church. And they're found in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And today we're going to be talking about the last one, the seventh letter that he wrote to the church in Laodicea. And, you know, these letters have been, to some degree, alarming because he's giving warnings to the church. They've also been very hopeful because he never just writes a church off. Even though the church in Laodicea, a lot of people will preach that this is a rejected church. I don't preach that. I preach that this is a repentant church because he gives an enormous amount of hope and encouragement to this church. And what we're able to find is that there's a little bit of all of us in these letters. All the churches down through the ages have had to deal with these issues. We've all experienced that innocent first love for Jesus that we had when we first came to follow him, and then have experienced a slowing of that love or a jading of that love where we kind of lose that first love for him. We've all been through that in some way, shape, or form, just like the lost love church in Ephesus. We've been persecuted and troubled by the world as they try to make us, kind of derail us in our faith, just like the persecuted church of Smyrna. We've all been, and I'm not trying to accuse anyone, but we've all had those days where we, or times in our lives where we're a little bit two-faced, where in front of friends and family, we might be one way, but when we come to church, we're another. And so sometimes we have to be reminded that we need to be Christ-loving and Christ-honoring all the time, no matter who we're with, just like the two-faced church of Pergamum. We've all been misled by the enemy. We've all had sneak attacks from the enemy, where the enemy comes out, kind of out of the dark alleys of the world, and misleads us and causes some troubles. And that's just like the misled church of Thyatira. We've all had times where we're withering, where our roots are maybe exposed, or the spiritual nourishment that we hope to have has been a little slow in coming, just like the withering church of Sardis. And many of us have sensed that condition or had somebody tell us we need to maybe shore up some things in our spiritual walk and make some changes. And then we've adapted and become more on mission and begun to minister to the world and share the gospel, just like the missional church of Philadelphia. And all of us find ourselves, after many years of following Christ, where we come to these places in our lives where we have to make a decision. Are we going to follow Christ wholeheartedly, or are we not? And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, the last of the seven churches, the repentant church in Laodicea. I just want to give you a little background of the church of Laodicea before we jump into Scripture. The church in Laodicea, the actual city of Laodicea, I should say, was famous for three things. It was famous for, it was kind of the center of the banking industry of the Roman world at that time. So there's a lot of gold, a lot of riches, a lot of people talking about wealth. The other thing that they were famous for was that they had created, I'm not sure who it was, but created some kind of famous eye salve that you could put on eyes that were diseased and unhealthy. And they had kind of a famous medical school there in Laodicea. They're also famous for the textile industry. They dealt with cloth and fabrics and threads and yarns, and they were famous for that. Those three things kind of were the things that made them a famous city. And we'll encounter those three things in Jesus' letter to the church. So let's go to Revelation chapter 3, starting verse 14. The text will be on the screen if you want to follow along there. Jesus is dictating this letter again to the apostle John, and he says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, remember, angel is the pastor. The word angel in the Greek means messenger, so he's writing to the pastor of the church, who, of course, is supposed to share this information with the church. And so Jesus says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Now, that's a little odd way of telling who it is that's writing the church. These are the words of the Amen. Well, the prophet Isaiah talked about the God of truth. And in the Hebrew, Elohim, Amen, means Elohim means God, Amen means truth. So when Jesus says, these are the words of the truth, these are the words of the God of truth, he's referring to himself as the person that the prophet Isaiah was talking about, the God of truth. So he's telling us, if I tell you this, you can bank on it. It's true. It's information that you need to know. And he's also saying that he's the ruler of creation. So we can't say, well, who is this guy and why does he have the right to talk to us this way? This is Jesus, King of heaven and the King of the universe, and he has the right to say these words to us. And then in verse 15, he goes on, I know your deeds. And we've read this several times in these letters. I know your deeds. A couple of times, it was followed up by good stuff. Sometimes followed up by not so good stuff. And this one is not so good. He says this, I know your deeds. You're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Now, some translations put it this way, because you're not hot or cold and you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out. Now, nobody wants to get that kind of a report from Jesus. You know what? You are a little bit disgusting. I'm thinking I'm just going to puke. Nobody wants to hear that from Jesus. It's not good. So he means business. Now, there are some soups we might eat that are hot and they're wonderful. And there are some spring and summer soups like cucumber soup and gazpacho and things like that that you're supposed to eat cold. So Jesus is saying either be hot or cold, but don't be in the middle where it's kind of greasy and it's congealing and turning into jelly, because I'm not going to drink that soup, he's basically telling us. I'm not going to have it. Be one or the other. If you're cold, I can work with that. If you're hot, that's great. If you're lukewarm, you're not tasty, I'm not going to have it. So he goes on to say in verse 17, you say, I'm rich. I've acquired wealth. I have everything. I don't need a thing. But Jesus says this, you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. The three industries of Laodicea, wealth, perfect eye salve, textiles. You are poor, you're blind, and you're naked. Spiritually, you're missing out. You're not firing on any of the cylinders that you need. And you know, this is so true of the Western church in modern day. Certainly, in many churches in the United States, we think, and let me back up, I'm really not talking about churches, I'm talking about unbelievers who need to find Christ and have not. And what they're saying is, I've got it all. You know, I love my life. I got a nice house and a nice job. I've got a car. My kids are well-behaved. Why would I need a Savior? That's what the world thinks. And what Jesus is saying to this church is, you think you've got it all together, that you don't need anything. And he's saying, but you are poor, you are blind, and you're naked spiritually. And he wants them to make some changes. And so he counsels them in verse 18. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. You live in the banking industry town, but you're poor. Buy your gold from me, or get your gold from me, Jesus is saying. You are living in the textile industry, center of the textile industry, and yet you're naked spiritually. get your garments from me. You live where the medical center is located, the world-famous eye salve that Laodiceans have. You need that salve from me so that you can see spiritually. You will be truly rich. You will be properly clothed and able to see spiritually if you get it from me, he says. Now, here's a bit of hope. Well, actually, that's a bit of hope when you hear that Jesus says, get these things from me so you'll be spiritually well off instead of getting those things from the world and missing out. But here's a really great word of hope in verse 19. Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. So be earnest and repent. When Jesus says, the people that I'm rebuking, by the way, a rebuke is a very sharp warning. It's a correction that you don't really want to hear. We've all been rebuked by a parent or an employer, and they come to you and they look you in the face and they might even point at you or pound you in the chest and say, listen here, buddy, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Straighten up and fly right. Anybody ever hear that from a mom or dad? I think I promise I would never say those words to Zachary, and I'm not sure. I probably have said it way too many times. But we discipline children because we love them. We rebuke our children because we love them. And Jesus is saying, those whom I love, I rebuke. Those whom I love, I discipline. So this is hope for me when I read this about this church. And when I think about what these words mean for us as a church and for me and for all of you as individual believers, Jesus is doing this because he loves us and he wants us to grow. And he says, so be earnest, put your heart into it, and turn around and go the right direction. That's what repentance means. And so he goes on in verse 20. And this is so famous, this passage is so well known, we could probably all say it. More than likely in the King James, behold, I stand at the door and knock. In the NIV, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. What a great promise. See, there's more hope in this letter than you might suspect when he starts off by saying, I think I'm going to puke you out. He's now saying, but I will come in. If you let me in, I'll come in and share a meal with you. Amen. We have a portrait or a painting here. It's a print of a famous painting called Christ at Heart's Door. This is donated by the Brandenberry family. And this hangs in our conference room. And we've duplicated it up on the screen here. Warner Solomon is a Church of God artist of many, many years ago. And I've actually seen this, the real painting. It's about 10 feet tall and 8 feet wide, something like that. It's huge. But if you'll notice, the luminance of Christ's heart illuminates what looks like kind of a valentine of light. And that's the heart that he's knocking at. And the door has a grill in the door, darkness on one side, light on the other. So that the person inside looks out and sees that it's Christ, and he's full of light, and he's trustworthy. There is no doorknob that you can see because the person on the inside has to open the door. So Christ stands at the door and knocks and waits for us to open the door. And when we do, he will come in and we'll have a meal together. And that's what Jesus is saying to this church, and he's what he's saying to all of us as well. If you just will open your heart, I will come in and I will have meal with you. Invite me in. It's an ageless painting, it's an ageless comment, and it's certainly directly from this letter, not only to the church in Laodicea, but to us as well. Now he goes on to say this in verse 21, to the one who is victorious. Some translations put it to the overcomer. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with me or with my Father on his throne. Now, there's no real way for me to define or explain to you what that means because it's still very mysterious. The best way to say it is this: we get to sit with Jesus. He invites us up on the throne. How many, as children, couldn't wait to sit with grandma or grandpa wherever they were sitting? It's kind of what Jesus is saying. If you're an overcomer, if you are victorious, you get to sit right here with me. Now, there's more to it because he says you get to rule with me on the throne. Can't explain it to you unless we go further into Revelation. But suffice to say that in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus says this: in the recreation of the world, when the Son of Man will rule victoriously or gloriously, you who have followed me will also rule. And not only you, but anyone who sacrifices home, family, fields, whatever, because of me, will get back all 100 times over, not to mention the considerable bonus of eternal life. Jesus says this is the great reversal. Many of the first ending up last, and many of the last ending up first. Again, I can't tell you exactly what it means that we get to sit on the throne and rule with him, but it's good news, not bad news. Amen. And that's what he's promising to those who overcome, to those who are victorious. And then in verse 22, he ends this letter just like he has all the others. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to all the churches, not just to Laodicea, but to all churches down through the ages. Lessons that can be learned, lessons we can learn even today. Now, as we started this process of going through these seven letters, one of the things that I wanted us to look for is that there are always four things in these letters, to varying degrees: some type of a compliment, some type of a reprimand, some type of a lesson to be learned, and then a promise. This particular letter does not have a compliment. It doesn't start with a compliment. He says, I know your deeds. You're neither hot nor cold. That's about as good a compliment as you get. So there's no compliment, but his reprimand is front and center, and it's very severe. I know your deeds. You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. I want to spit you out of my mouth. You think you're rich, but you're really spiritually impoverished. Serious business. But then that teaching that follows: get your gold from me, your garments from me, your eye salve from me, so you can be truly rich, truly clothed, and truly able to see spiritually. Don't get from the world. Get from me, Jesus says. And he continues this teaching: be earnest, repent, hear my voice, open the door. And then he gives the promise: for those of us who overcome, I'll give you the right to sit with me on my throne. Great good news. So this is the highly effective lesson that we can glean from this letter. Turn back to the right path of life lived with Christ. Seek Jesus for your spiritual needs. Don't get it from the world. And live your life with him. If you and I will personally return and walk with Jesus, like we did the first time we came to faith, and we'll return to an even greater vitality. And he says, and I will come in and I will dine with you. So let's be repentant people. Let's remember all of the lessons from these seven letters, but especially now, this letter. Repent. Turn away. Turn from the world towards me, the way you're supposed to be facing, and walk with me. Get your sustenance, your spiritual needs met by me, Jesus says. And we'll be a rich people. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, we want to live for you. We want to learn all of these lessons. These seven lessons from these seven churches. Help us to not read these letters as information for someone else, but to read them as not only information for them, but for us as well. If we have ears, let us hear what the Spirit is saying to all churches through these letters. Let's learn these highly effective lessons. And in the case of this church in Laodicea, the repentant church, let's turn around, walk the right way, listen to you knock on our door of our heart and open the door and let you in and spend time with you. Help us to just be with you. And we will give you all the praise and all the glory, and we certainly thank you. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.